unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, if we were perfect people, we would be motivated by love, true love for God and love for our fellow men. However, since we are sinful, we are often motivated by fear, selfishness, jealousy, anger, or some other emotion. The motivation of love can change rapidly depending upon whether everything is going well or whether things are not going so well and we don't know which way to turn for help. In order to deal successfully with the various situations in life, let's listen to the guidance that was given by God through Moses to the children of Israel, God's chosen people, just prior to the crossing of the Red Sea. They were told, stand still, go forward. Our text is recorded in the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verses 13 through 15. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. To the casual reader of Holy Scripture, the text before us might seem to contain some contradictions. On the one hand, Moses, God's chosen servant, who was to lead the children of Israel, told the people to stand still. On the other hand, he was to tell the people what the Lord said, let the children of Israel go forward. On the surface, it would appear as if Moses and God were not on the same page or of the same opinion. However, every faithful student of Holy Scripture will admit that the Lord always had the physical and the spiritual welfare, the temporal and eternal welfare of the children of Israel at heart. And of course, it is also true that Moses had the temporal and the spiritual welfare of the people at heart. And yet the two appear to be giving different commands. Stand still, go forward. If you carefully study this word of God in its total context, you will see that there's no conflict at all. The difference between the two commands was one of time and one of place. The words of Moses, taken in their more literal sense, meant stand fast or stand firm. After God had killed the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both of the people and the animals, all in one night, Pharaoh urged the children of Israel to pack up and get out of Egypt in a hurry. However, after they were gone, it dawned on Pharaoh that they had lost all of that free slave labor. So he changed his mind. He decided he was going to go after the children of Israel, pursue them, and bring them back into the land of Egypt. Indeed, at that particular time, the children of Israel found themselves in a very dangerous position. As the children of Israel looked back, they saw the mighty armies of Pharaoh rapidly pursuing them. And of course, the Israelites didn't have an army. They weren't trained for war at all. And so how could they defend themselves? It wasn't safe to go back. But in front of them was the Red Sea. So how could they go forward? Humanly speaking, it was an impossible situation for thousands of men, women, and children to escape in any way whatsoever from the armies of the Egyptians. Then Moses called upon the people to take a very firm stand and to remember that the Lord had taken care of them and that that was evident by the fulfillment of all of his promises to the children of Israel. Surely, the Lord would not let his people down. This is the first lesson that we too, of course, must learn. Like the children of Israel, we need to have a faith that is firmly rooted in the precious promises of our gracious and almighty God. We need to be assured, as Moses assured the children of Israel, the Lord will fight for you. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul uses a similar phrase when he writes, if God is for us, who can be against us? We see the importance here to meditate and ponder upon what God has to say to us. It is of utmost importance that our faith rests firmly upon the unchangeable, immovable promises of our great, gracious God. Our Almighty God has promised us, I will never leave you or forsake you. And you can be sure of that. Our risen Savior also gives us his personal promise and assurance, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. When we are afraid of the things that are creeping up on us from the past, and when we're filled with fear because of what we face at the present and in the future, we might find ourselves in a position where we don't want to go backward, it's not safe, but we don't want to go forward either. We find ourselves in a position comparable to that of the children of Israel. Behind were the mighty armies of the Egyptians, and before them was the great Red Sea. Moses asked the children of Israel to stand still and recall the mighty works of God for his people in the past. God had delivered them for over 400 years of slavery. Now, the time was coming when he was going to bring them into that promised land of Canaan. God would take care of them and fulfill his promises. And that promise, with reference to Canaan, had been given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, one generation after another, that God was going to bring them to that promised land. When we're worried about the past, the present, and the future, how important it is for us to remember the promises of God for this life and for the life that is to come. We need to stand still long enough to search God's word and to see those promises. Promises fulfilled and promises made for us as well as to God's children in the past. We need to hear what Moses said to the children of Israel. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you. For many generations, God had given his chosen people his word. He promised them with blessings for time and eternity. He promised them that he would lead them to the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey, as scripture describes it. Now they were nearing that land, and under divine direction, they were asked to go forward. But that's where they hesitated, with reference to following the command of God. And so they needed both of these commands. Stand still, go forward. Now, to go forward without knowing what the will of the Lord is, that's dangerous. And to refuse to go forward and do what the will of the Lord is, that's foolishness. When we forget and neglect God's word, our faith in his promises begins to fade away. And we look back and look ahead, and we're not sure what to do. Then we are afraid to go forward. How often Would the Lord Jesus say to you and me, as he often said to his followers during his public ministry, O you of little faith, why are you so fearful? In these two statements, stand still, go forward, we have God's guide to glory and to victory. After Moses had shown the children of Israel that there was no need to fear, and that God would come to their rescue and deliver them, and that they would see the salvation of the Lord, there still appears to have been some doubts or some questions, even in the mind of Moses. The Lord asked Moses, Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. The question indicates that Moses was crying out to the Lord. That is, he was praying. He was praying in his usual way, described in Holy Scripture. Moses cried out to the Lord. He always knew when there was difficulties of any kind, or whether it was a time to give thanks to God, he knew to whom he should turn, and he had the promises that God would hear and answer. The question that confronted Moses was not a question as to what the will of the Lord was. It was really a question, how can I get these people, the children of Israel, to see what the will of the Lord is, and how can I get them to follow the will of the Lord? And that problem often faced Moses as the children of Israel rebelled against him, and at times it almost drove him to despair. Although thousands of years have passed since the time of Moses, we still have that same problem even within the church today. The cry of the prophet Isaiah, which was made over 700 years before Jesus was ever born, is still that cry that is heard down the corridor of time. Isaiah asked, Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? From Scripture we know what the will of the Lord is. We should believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and our only Savior. We are called upon to proclaim that good news for all people throughout the world. We should invite them, bid them, tell them, compel them to come in, as Scripture says. Urge people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as God's Son and their Savior, and they will be blessed by believing that promise of God. Yet, so often we find ourselves asking, as Moses did, what do I have to do to get these people to see God's will and to do it? In spite of all of the telling, we often wonder why there is so little doing of his will. In spite of all of the telling, the urging, the pleading with reference to, for example, regular worship of the one true God, faithful attendance at the Lord's table, more regular, diligent study of God's holy word, regularly witnessing to the unchurched, more faithfully contributing to the extending of the kingdom of God through the means that we have, we find ourselves asking again and again, what do we have to do to get people to see all these things? Now, if any of the Israelites would have refused to go forward, they wouldn't have seen the salvation of the Lord. They would not have beheld the wonderful works of God as he parted the waters of the Red Sea and allowed those thousands of people to walk through on dry land. They wouldn't have seen God's judgment either upon the ungodly as he closed with those waters and destroyed the ungodly Egyptians. It would have meant disaster for anyone who refused to go forward. It was only by going forward that they could enjoy God's deliverance and salvation. Why do we often wonder that there is so little enthusiasm for the work of the church? Why are so many church people spiritually at a standstill? Some haven't gone forward in months and years. Some haven't gone forward since the day of confirmation. In fact, some have gone backwards. Often, the greatest criticism and condemnation of the church comes from people who spiritually are at a standstill. All they can tell you is everything that's wrong with the church. And sometimes they speak so vehemently against the church that you have to ask yourself, why do they even want to belong to anyone at all? How little of the Lord's salvation do such people really see? How little joy is there in doing the will of the Lord? All because there's so little, they don't want to go forward. And we are urged forward in worship, forward in the study of the word, forward in prayer life, forward in witnessing, forward in giving, forward in telling and doing. It's very significant to note here that the challenge of the Lord came at a time when many of the children of Israel felt they had gone too far already. Only two verses prior to our text, we have their bitter complaint. They said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. Yes, they complained and preferred to stand still only. Did they really believe what they were saying? Were there no graves in the land of Egypt? Had life in Egypt been so much better than what they had now? Did they know why they had been led out of the land of Egypt in the first place? They simply were looking for some excuse not to go forward. And that's typical still in the church today. There were those who don't want to go backward. That wouldn't be popular, but they have no desire to go forward either. They would just rather stand still and complain. Do you and I really believe that we have and know the truth as it is revealed here in God's word? Do we really believe that we have the truth that God has set us free from sin, death, and the power of the devil? Do we really believe the Lord Jesus when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life? No one comes to the Father except through me. Do we really believe that the apostles proclaimed that same thing when they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved? Do we really believe that Christ died for all and that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us from all sin? Do we really believe that God's word contains the power to get us off of dead center and to go forward? Do we really believe that it is his will to proclaim and make this known to all others? And that his word offers comfort to the comfortless, hope to the hopeless, and help to the helpless, and consolation to the suffering and the dying. If we really believe that, then we will get off dead center and go forward to proclaim it, announce it, sing it. Yes, as scripture says, shout it from the housetops. Today our Lord would say to you and me, speak to my people and tell them to go forward with our trust in God's love and his forgiveness revealed in Christ Jesus, and with our trust in his promises that he will never leave us or forsake us, and that he will take us by the hand and lead us every step of the way, we will willingly go forward. Let's go forward to glory and to victory in the name of our Lord. Let's go forward and see the salvation of our God. Let's make this our motto. Go forward. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Grant us hearts, dear Lord, to yield thee gladly, freely of thine own. With the sunshine of thy goodness, melt our thankless hearts of stone, till our cold and selfish natures, warmed by thee, at length believe that more happy and more blessed 'tis to give than to receive. Amen. Almighty and most merciful God, we implore you to hide the shame of our sins from your sight. Clothe us in the garments of salvation purchased by the suffering and death of your Son on the cross, those robes of righteousness which have been washed clean in his blood. Continue to bless your church, the fellowship of believers. May your pastors always proclaim the true message of salvation, and let your people joyfully hear it and believe it. Stir up all Christendom with your Holy Spirit, turning the hearts of people everywhere to faithful worship and Christ-directed living. We entreat you to give understanding, moral strength, and courage to those who are in elected positions and to all who have authority over us. Instill into the hearts of journalists, authors, educators, and other molders of public and private opinion a deep respect for you. Show them how to use the talents you have given them to promote justice, moral decency, proper values, and good order in the land. We pray for people who are in difficulties, for the poor and the needy, for the sick and the suffering, the aged, for the desolate and the downtrodden, and for all who are lonely and about to despair. Be gracious to them and bless them. Arouse your church on earth to have greater compassion for all who are afflicted. Grant wisdom to all who teach the members of the congregations. May Christ dwell richly in the hearts of our parents and children, that our Christian homes might stand as enduring models of godliness in an ungodly world. Teach Christians everywhere to be moderate in all things. Give them the trust to commit their ways to you and the sanctified will to flee temptation, lust, and all conduct unbecoming of Christians. Help us to set an example for others in our community by godly living, by brotherly harmony, by Christian charity, and by love for your word and for your house of worship. May our speech and our conduct ever mirror the imminence of the great and glorious day of Christ's coming again. Keep our hearts and souls strong through your word and sacraments, so that the sound of the last trumpet will be a note of joy and gladness for us. We ask it all in Jesus' name, who also taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Grant us, we pray, Almighty God, a stronger, steadfast faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a cheerful hope in your mercy, and a sincere love to you and to all of our fellow men. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and rules with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.